Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Got 24 and a half minutes left on this show today. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hey.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Raised in Kansas City. I guess the town is, Kansas City is almost getting routine with the Super Bowl, so I don't know.
Well, this is going to be, what, the fourth in 5 years and the start of a dynasty if they win it. Some people are nuts. I mean, they're just.
They won two.
There's over the top. We're way over the top.
Now, is this Kansas City's won two Super Bowls in the last 4 years? Is that right?
Yeah, I guess that's right. That they won two, then they lost one to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
So this is their fourth appearance, you said, in 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you win another Super Bowl, that would be three. That would be a dynasty. Yeah, that qualifies, in my opinion. You know, that would be quite remarkable, especially for having six regular season losses this year. It's almost as
well,
if they just turned it on.
They've healthy a little bit. And,
well, that's true.
You know, I thought Buffalo's going to beat them. I thought
Ravens.
Baltimore was going to beat
them. Yeah, me too.
And, but, you know, just don't bet against Pat Mahomes in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, he just he picks it up.
Well, I've mentioned this before, and then we'll finish with football talk here. But there is a player on Kansas City Chiefs. You'll watch him. You'll notice him this weekend on Sunday during the Super Bowl. His name is Chris Jones, and he's like an all-pro defensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. I mean, his name will be called a lot if he's not injured. I don't think he is. He's from here.
Mississippi,
really? From well, Buffalo, he's from about 20 miles from here, a town called 25, 30 miles from here, a town called Houston, Mississippi. Hmm. And so about 2 years ago, I was eating at a restaurant here locally. Alice and I, we walked in with our family, some of our family members, and walked up and got in line, and I looked up to the sky, and there was this human mountain, and it was Chris Jones, and he's 6'7".
Man.
He's 6'7", probably 300 pounds, and
what position does he play?
He doesn't have any body fat. No, he plays defensive line for the Kansas. You'll hear his name. He's all pro. Chris Jones. You know what I'm talking about, obviously,
oh,
Ray.
Listen, if the Chiefs win, he's going to be a big reason because he's a great pass rusher.
Yeah.
When he's on his game, Tim, Chris Jones is almost unstoppable.
Yeah, you can't block him with one lineman. You have to have two if you want to hope to block him. But I've seen Shaquille O'Neal up close and personal when he was in his college days at LSU, and that was the largest human being I've ever seen. He was 7'1", 310 pounds, and at that time, Shaquille O'Neal, there was no flab. He was a rock.
College with a guy who was 7'8". 7'8", probably weighed 200 pounds. He was skin and bones. But
was he a foreigner?
What's that?
Was he a foreigner?
No. No, his name is George Bell from Virginia. He's in Virginia now. He's a police officer. 7'8", he played on Biola University's basketball team. They went to the state national championship with NAIA.
Seven feet, eight inches tall.
The tallest player in the nation at the time, or maybe even since. But I remember walking into the dorm room and seeing this. First day on the dorm hall, I walk up the stairs. First time I'm looking down the hallway with roof on the right and left, I see this figure come out, duck under a door, walk and duck under into another room. Go, what did I just see? But he was
Wow.
Really nice guy. Great with kids.
Yeah.
In my early radio days, I worked for a station that was an affiliate of the Oakland A's, and I got to go up with for the station and do some reporting in the clubhouse and everything. I got to see up close and personal with a lot of MLB players. And you go up there, and if you're young and if you were halfway athletic, you think, you know, I might have been able to do this. I've been on the sidelines of an NBA game and an NFL game. There's no way. I mean, those guys are so big.
It's the reason they get paid the big bucks right there. Mm. All right. What's your first story, Steve?
Well, let's talk about whether or not Michelle Obama is going to be going to Washington, D.C. to run for the White House.
Well, have you talked to Ed about this?
I have not. I'll check in with Ed afterwards. Ed is free to bring his opinions on this on Monday if he wants, I suppose. What? But
yeah, go ahead.
I'm not espousing my own opinion on this, but I am quoting Karl Rove. Karl Rove says Michelle Obama hates politics. If you read her biography, he says she hates politics. So she's probably not going to be running, he says. It's just not a chance. Joe Biden thinks he's the only – this is Karl Rove's diagnosis. He doesn't think that Joe Biden is going to make it till November, but he doesn't think that that Michelle is going to replace him. This is his Karl Rove's statement from Fox Business. Joe Biden thinks he's the only person who can beat Donald Trump in the Democrat Party. He may be the only person that can lose to Donald Trump in the Democrat Party.
Interesting. Yeah, well, Ed suggested maybe, you know, it would be a Michelle Obama to the rescue. Ed suggested that a few months back. And I openly mocked Ed on that because I said, no, Michelle Obama likes vacationing on yachts in the Mediterranean with George Clooney.
And, you better hope he does.
And so she doesn't want to be president. I don't think she does.
She strikes fear in the heart of a lot of Republicans.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think she's some kind of a superwoman that could win going away? I mean, I think.
Just name recognition.
I don't know. Yeah.
Nah, that's not going to be enough. With the state of our country right now, no.
I think the stronger hand, Ray, in my opinion, of course, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but if Biden's not there, Kamala Harris would not be the one. I would recruit the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer.
Gretchen Whitmer?
I would recruit her. Again, she's governor lockdown. Don't misunderstand me. I don't like any of her politics. I'm just seeing her as a viable candidate to replace Biden, should he not be there. But you think? What do you think?
This is part of the problem, isn't it? That if it's not Michelle Obama, okay, I can understand the attraction of putting her on the ticket. But if it's not Michelle Obama, who is it that's going to beat the Republicans in a situation as messed up as our current political situation is? Gavin Newsom? No, I mean DeSantis eviscerated him in that debate. Gretchen Whitmer, outside of Michigan, how well known is she? So I think the problem is the Democrats' bench is not very deep in terms of good presidential candidates.
That's true. Well, listen, Biden has dismal approval rating numbers, but so does Trump. So it's a race to the bottom. President Trump and President Biden both had similar numbers in terms of their job approval numbers. They are loathed by the opposition very much. So the general public, the middle, the independents, I guess that'll be where the race is won or lost. I'm talking about if it's Biden-Trump, which it looks like it's going to be in November.
As of this article, I think he was at 37% approval rating.
Biden?
60-something opposed.
Yeah.
Unfavorable.
Yeah, next story, Steve.
All right. We've been a little critical of Disney for a while because of their choices. You remember the reissuing of Snow White with the seven dudes?
yeah, what was that? Some kind of Has that movie come out yet?
No. They might have put it on the back burner.
They
might have done that because the star.
It wasn't they that what they did was they took. Well, there are multiple problems with things Disney's decisions they've made on many levels the last couple of years. But what they did with that movie, the seven Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, they changed that to. It's going to be a movie with actual people, not an animation. And the seven dwarves are
seven diverse people. One of them is a small person, and the other are just diverse.
Yeah, because they want to get away from. I don't. Why are they doing that?
Because diversity. And this is the thing. I just.
Snow White's not. Is she even white?
No, she's Hispanic.
And was Snow White meant to talk about her skin color? I think it was.
I think it was back in the day. Yeah, but and they might have to change the with white supremacy all the talk about that. They might have to change the title of the thing. Oh. But she did more to scuttle that movie with her comments.
Who did
the actress that they had to play Snow White? But Elon Musk found a big paper with a bunch of. Inclusion standards that Disney is putting on all of its movies. Disney and their affiliates, ABC, ESPN, Marvel, all of these are owned by Disney. Now, according to this, the general entertainment content, they're going to need, Disney from now on is going to have to put in 50% or more regular and recurring written characters from underrepresented groups, 50% or more regular of the actors actually have to be from the underrepresented groups.
What's an underrepresented group?
Well, LGBT, black, gay, you know.
They're overrepresented.
Trans, 50%
I'm talking about the LGBTQ to every other show. Anyway, go ahead.
And it's the TV shows, it's the production companies, it's the distribution companies, all throughout the whole process of any show. If you are... they're requiring standards of so many LGBT or underrepresented people. Well, Elon Musk looked at the thing and said, well, you know what? This is a lot of white actors, producers, writers are going to be out of a job just simply because of this. So this is what he tweeted out. He said, an anonymous source just sent me this from Disney. It's a mandatory institutionalized racism and sexism. If you were discriminated against by Disney or its subsidiaries, just reply to this post to receive legal support. Elon Musk is
he going to pay for their lawyers?
It sounds like he is.
By the way, if I were a dwarf, I would be very upset that they're not using my people in the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs story. They're changing the story altogether, which means a lot of dwarfs are not going to be able to have jobs.
It cuts both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, to answer that, I think Disney will just say, we're going to hire a six-footer who identifies as a dwarf.
There you go.
That's good.
So, well, why not?
That gets the box.
Get that 7'8" guy. You were talking about.
As long as he can identify as a dwarf, he can be in the movie.
I guess.
How about that?
It doesn't matter.
Yep. You know, when is corporate America going to realize that regular America doesn't buy into all of this stuff?
Nobody cares.
Yep. The box office, it's going to fail.
Listen, there was a day and time in our country where I could see where affirmative action, for example, would have been needed to integrate ethnic minorities into the I could understand that, you know, when we had the civil rights movement and those kinds of things. But this country for 20 years, 30 years has basically been colorblind. Mm-hmm. And it's just the opportunities, one more than that, probably 30, 40 years, this country has been colorblind. And any kind of racial discrimination has been shunned or has been...
There's no systemic stuff left.
No, there's not. There's not. And if you have the ability, you will make it in America in whatever profession you want to call it. You're not going to be held back because of your race.
No.
Or because of your ethnicity. That's just not happening in America anymore. Listen... I've been around a lot of doctors, medical doctors, the last couple months, as I've talked about with Allison, my wife, going through cancer treatments. And a majority of them are either Indian. I'm talking about Indian, their heritage, their family heritage. They may be American, mm-hmm. but their family heritage is like the country India, not Native Americans. Mm-hmm. Or there was a doctor at UAB, from very smart gynecologist from that we dealt with from South America, but Brazil, I think. So I'm just saying, these people are coming to the U.S. They're not Anglo. They're not white doctors. So you can make it in our country. Listen, if we applied this standard that these lefties are always promoting, that people are discriminated against, and that's the reason they can't make it, because the white people in America oppress people of color. Are we going to apply that to the NBA? Because if that's the case, if you want ethnicity, if you want diversity, then they need to put more Anglos on NBA teams in the name of diversity. Yeah. Well, that's not going to happen. You know why? Because, well, it might happen, but it'll only happen if those players are good enough to make the teams. That's when it'll happen.
So here's the problem. Ray, it's no longer – colorblind is out. Colorblind is bad now, because if you're colorblind, then you don't see the black person's plight or the minority's discrimination, and you don't feel guilty about your own whiteness. It's gone all kinds of weird places, Ray.
Well, it would actually be a fine advance if colorblindness could exist, as if it were done on the basis of merit, background, effort, gifting, talent. And where that has prevailed in American society, which, Tim, as you said, it's largely across the board, it's been a great advance. But that's not what the diversity people want.
No.
They want favoritism.
The qualification is like third on the list now.
Yeah.
They want to check boxes. And you start doing that in the airline industry, like they talk about.
Ooh, and they are talking about it.
Checking boxes instead of checking qualifications. There's even, you know, a lot of places they don't want to do standardized testing anymore. Have you noticed this?
Oh, yes.
For high school students, because they claim that's discriminatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, how's that? Everybody gets the same test. You know, how's that discriminatory? Now, I'm talking about, I don't believe the average minority, black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever, in America, I don't think the average person out there wants to do away with qualifications or opportunities in the name of diversity for diversity's sake. If you ask a minority, an ethnic minority, you want to fly with somebody who's a pilot because they earned their wings, or because they finished 15th in their class, but they got pushed to the job because they're fit the right boxes, the ethnicity or the gender or the LGBT. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're going to pick the most qualified pilot. So anyway, let's move on. Next
story.
The
argument against DEI should go no farther than Karine Jean-Pierre. Hey, I've got to ask Fred, my Canadian friend, what's going on up in the north here? You want to know why people aren't storming the Canadian border to get into Canada? Maybe it's because of this. I want you to hear Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Well, 5 foot of snow's a deterrent.
That might do it too. This is Justin Trudeau talking about politics in Canada. Cut 9.
Mr. Speaker, what we hear from the leader of the opposition is under the previous Conservative government, everything was perfect. And what he is proposing to do is to make Canada great again. That is not what Canadians want.
Make Canada average again, huh?
the capital C Conservative leader in Canada is a guy by the name Pierre Poilievre. And if you want to have some fun someday, just go to YouTube and watch the exchanges between Trudeau and Pierre Poilievre, because Pierre Poilievre is so sharp, and I would have loved to have heard his response to what Trudeau just said. You mean Canada wants to make Canada great again? Yeah.
That's not what Canada wants. That was like a Saturday Night Live skit or something.
Yeah.
We don't want to be great again.
Yeah. Pierre was his dad. Justin Trudeau is the kamikaze pilot of politics. You know, he is doing his best to drive Canada into the ground.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. We got 2 or 3 minutes left here. I wanted to mention, before Steve goes to the last story, we got 16 people signed up today alone for our June Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So registrations are happening each and every day. So I'm just saying, people, if you want to go with us to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, or you want to go with us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in the summer or in the fall, we go in June and September. You can do both of those tours. They're back-to-back. We'll take care of you Saturday to Saturday. Or you can go one or the other of those spiritual heritage tours. The itinerary, the cost, everything you want to know about these trips, if you want to join us, is available at spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours with an S, .com. We go in June. We go in September. Those are the two best months to go weather-wise. And we'd love to have you if you've never been with us, or if you've been with us before and you want to go back. We would love to have you on those trips. What do you got for us, Steve?
All right,
got about a minute and a half.
Let's end here. No one's ever accused some people of being too intelligent. I don't want to cast aspersions on any particular genre of music, but rap gets a bad rap sometimes. It gets a deserved rap sometimes. I want you to hear a rapper. I'm not going to give her name because it's just too embarrassing, but this is what she's being interviewed by a white person on a podcast, and I want you to hear what this rapper says, Cut 11.
What do you know?
That you're a musician. That's why I'm interviewing you today, so I can get to know you.
So I'm a musician.
Mm-hmm.
What that mean? Make magic or something? What is musician?
I think you're confusing that.
Yeah, I'm not no musician. I make music. I make music. And that's not all I do. I make music. I act. I'm a TV star, too, a young mogul.
Uh-huh. Just really quick, I think you're confusing.
I'm not confusing nothing because you don't know. You thought that all I was a magician or whatever you said.
A magician?
That's what I think
you know
think
what? You know what? Stop right there. If I were the person or the producer of that show, I would say, everybody's going to go back out in the hall. And we're going to re-enter the room. We're going to start this whole thing over again because we're on a bad footing right here. Anyway, a musician.
She doesn't know what a musician is.
Well, rapping is its own art form, I guess you could say.
You're so kind.
Well.
Yes, you are.
It's not traditional music. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is.
It's not music.
I've never heard a piano with a rap song, let me put it that way, or a violin. But maybe I missed something right there.
Well, she's a magician.
So. A magician, a musician, what's the difference? All right. Hey, listen, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Chris Woodward, Alex McFarland, still owes me a couple things of peanut butter, homemade peanut butter. We'll see how that goes. He'll be on next week. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll be here by then. Our thanks to Brent Creeley. Is anybody else on today? I don't think so, right? We'll see you next time, everybody.